The church is more than a building. The church is more than a denomination. Jesus intended to be a permanent force in the world. There was no thought of dynasty. Jesus is separate among men. He does not compete because there are no competitors. His work grows every day. He spoke of it as a kingdom. It was to be built steadily and out of many lives from many communities. Jesus placed his working plans with a small group of friends. He warned these friends against impatience and despair. He expressed complete faith. I have overcome the world. His confidence was total. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. It is almost 2,000 years later. Who on this people planet is as well known as Jesus? Who is involved with daily living as much? Jesus and his message push past perimeters every day. He dominates history. In comparison to all other personalities, Jesus constantly increases in arrest and victory while others diminish. John the Baptist sensed this genius. He said, I must decrease, but he must increase. John was great in his own right, but the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he, because in the kingdom there is a distinct and greater energy. No effort of mankind has approached the will, the force, and the conquest of this kingdom. Why? It breathes. It moves as the living one. It is manifest through a body. The body is the tool. The living one is the will. I need a body. You need a body. We must be clothed. The church is his body. It is his body. Attempts are made repeatedly to disembody him. Councils and religious princes presume to preempt the church. The church is his body, his alone. He alone makes it meaningful. It's a clutter of decay without him. He gives expression. He provides renewal. The form is not the essential fact. The spirit is. There is shape because there is substance. Let none disparage the body. There is identity. My association and dedication are not nebulous. The church is his body. I'm identified with that body. Now, I know that organization is lifeless without Jesus. I know also that Jesus is pleased to manifest himself through organization. The body is as important to Jesus as the body is important to you and to me. Many seriously believe and promote that the less body a spirit can have, the better. And they're persuaded that the ideal would be a state of humanity wherein every individual soul would be touched independently by the Spirit of Christ. And they're opposed to organization. They would not have symmetry or recognition. There would be no design of hands, feet, lips, eyes. Now these have seen an imperfect body. And organization leaves much to be desired. Yet in the natural, great spirits have worked through marred and imperfect bodies. The spirit of a man is handicapped by a diseased body. But shall we say that the spirit of man should not operate until it can find a perfect vehicle? No, the body is not perfect. Jesus is. However, the church is his body. The first generation might have avoided pain. Remember, the peril and martyrdom which came were not for following Christ's precepts or being filled with his spirit, but for membership in an illicit organization. They could have avoided torment and cruelty by refusal to associate, considering himself or herself a sort of nebulous cell. Suppose some modern evangelist had been their advisor. What advice might he have given? He might say with conviction that no membership or identity are necessary, none at all. He might say that each may go his or her individual way, that it is not essential to meet for sacraments or to be fruitful and multiply. The advantage is evident. It cancels a great amount of expense and effort. It removes from an antagonistic world system any visible form toward which to attack. Suppose the disciples had accepted this to be adequate. Their action would have been different. The book of Acts would be different. They jeopardized their lives. They imperiled their estates. Their action was totally foolish. If the body, the organization is inconsequential. persecution seized upon them, not because they became conspicuous for purity and honesty and charity, gentleness, meekness, goodness. There has never been a society which would have been exasperated at the exhibition of these qualities in individuals as the Roman world did at the Christians. That anger was aroused by the deliberate attempt to introduce a new and antagonistic kingdom. Jesus was sent to the cross for the same reason. Had he renounced his plan of a kingdom, he could have avoided death. Believers were burned and crucified because they assembled themselves together. If they had accepted it to be lawful, how easy it would have been to pass on from mouth to ear the gracious words of Jesus, for individuals to keep his spirit in loving memory, to conform themselves quietly to his precepts without attracting dangerous attention to themselves by organization. The church is his body. Why should they abandon themselves together in a body if membership in a body be not of imperious necessity? Ask yourself, where would Christianity be today had believers denounced organization nearly 2,000 years ago? How else can there be the fullness of him that filleth all and in all? Jesus was explicit. He sternly exacted that every follower must declare himself or herself. Him that will confess me before men, I also will confess. Him that will deny me before men, I also will deny. There must be a voluntary and positive declaration. There must be identity. Why? Why should public confession be demanded of me when it is, in the nature of the case, not essential to my salvation? The obligation does not arise out of the need of the confessor, but out of the needs of Christ. This is the means by which he intends to be kept alive in the world. The body to be formed thus out of his individual followers is the place where his spirit is to dwell. And refusal on the part of an individual to take his place in it is treason. Treason in any kingdom is a capital offense. Now, there are many conscientious people who find it difficult to accept that the Spirit of Christ, the risen one, needs a body. Unfortunately, so many become anti-church. They accept that somehow there is a body of Christ. They are hard-pressed to identify it. It would be easier if there were a sharp distinction between the church and the world. So the question crescendos, why the need of the church, and why do I need to attend and support it? Now, mister, the church is a fact as law, government, commerce, science, art, education are facts. I might ask the same questions about these and ask, why do I need to acknowledge and support law, government, science, education? I see imperfections in all of these, but I would not be without them. Yet, these two are lifeless unless quickened. They must find expression through those who use them. Engineering cannot build a bridge. The engineer can. The church, the body, is lifeless also without him. It is his tool. Jesus has chosen this body for the expression of his will rather than to allocate government, science, education, and work through them. The church is distinct. By its nature, it's meant to be. It is not meant to be an extension of service clubs and reform movements and political parties and campuses and hospitals or laboratories. It is his body. He does not share his body with other interests. God giveth to every seed his own body. It is a distinct body which is able to conserve and express the life of the seed. All else is rejected. If by chance something foreign attaches itself in the organism, it irritates. And if the life or force within be strong enough, it is cast off. And this is the continuing story of the church, with movement after movement after movement, and still movement to come. The New Testament teaches us to refrain from ever saying, I have no need of thee. I need the church, lady. I need his body. I've seen too much of what physicians call loss of coordination, and it's a pitiable sight. The hands, the feet, the eyes, the ears are there, But there is no movement, no accomplishment. They refuse to act in concert. Each moves independently of the other. And death, yes, death were a better choice. Today, again, the Holy Spirit is striving for coordination in the body. And that is the unity men talk about. Never despise the church, sir. There are faults and weaknesses. There are, however, strength and triumph. The record is better than any body on earth. Make your comparisons. The church has a glorious record compared to the banks of earth and the ups and downs and the failures of financial institutions. Why? Because there is vigor and life and eternity in the church. The church is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. Now there's help for you. You're not facing rejection. The word of Jesus is come, and he'll welcome you to the long, long altar in these next 10 seconds.
There's room at the cross for you, for you.
Relief is marvelous, but redemption is a miracle. Both experiences are waiting for you here. You'll get rid of that drag on your soul, your mind, your conscience. Jesus calls it being born again. Have you gone through bankruptcy and all the claims have been cleared? Sinners are welcome here. Calvary is your invitation. It isn't for good people. Good people don't want the cross except for personal jewelry. The cross says, I forgive you. I cleanse you. So come for these, sir. God extends credits, benefits to us at Calvary. I may draw upon such credit for every personal need. And that's why I come daily. My need is constant as my need to breathe. I'm going to talk to the Lord, and I invite you to do the same. Jesus, there is no other name whereby I can be saved. Thou art the only begotten Son of God through my relationship with thee. I am made a son of God. Bless this altar with thy signature of victory. Free the slaves of sin and of Satan who come. Break the bondage of alcohol, heroin, anger, revenge, gambling, profanity, and perversion. Grant a new nature and a new language. Let black people be kind to white people, and white people be kind to black people. Bring labor and management together in valuable contracts of productivity. May we have more gospel preaching in our churches and less entertainment. Keep the meeting full of flame and always with a quickening sense of thy presence. Amen. The long, long altar is always with you. In my evangelistic ministry, I average about 200,000 air miles annually. And I find the long, long altar in every continent of earth. Jesus promises always to confirm the word with signs. We'll turn to observe his choice of sign among us for the meeting. Among us, there is a little fellow with scabs on his body, and they'll not yield to ointment, medicine, or injection. They itch and they gather infection. Jesus, the great physician, is moving toward the lad. I see that very clearly with eyes of faith. The scabs will clear without leaving a scar. This, again, is to the glory of God. No one earns it, no one deserves it, and no one is to blame. He bore our sicknesses in his own body to the tree. Yes, this is the meeting. It's never a program. It's a fellowship, a gathering by the Spirit of God. We do not peddle tags. We love God's 120. We believe there is a sound from heaven today. The meeting is a promise of the meeting in the air announced by the New Testament. And you and I can join that meeting only by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And this is why I urge you toward the simplicity that it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.